Could you tell me where we could go? He take me to the good times. I just gotta get out most days, you see. I like walking around, it's good for me. Could you tell me where we could go? He take me to the good times.
What's up, everybody? This is Joel Barsky with Irie Chat. You were just listening to a song called Take Me to the Good Times by The Suffers. Our guest is the band's frontwoman, Cam Franklin. The Suffers is a Gulf Coast soul band with two albums out now and are now working on a third. Cam Franklin is based out of Houston, Texas, and we thought to give her a call just for a chat. Listen to us talk about the new album the band's working on, advice she received from Dave Chappelle, and much more. So enjoy our Irie Chat as we say what's up to Cam Franklin. Cam Franklin, what's up? How you doing?
I'm so good to be here. I'm happy. How are you?
I'm great. You're based out of, I think, Houston, Texas. So how's the COVID situation been for you over there?
For me personally, I've been staying my butt inside and focused on finishing my records, but it's not a good climate here, really. People haven't been following directions, and it's a bit wild as far as the pandemic is concerned, but you can only control yourself.
Well, I'm curious of what you've been doing since then, because I know you've been pretty creative. I mean, you mentioned about working on a record, but one thing I thought that was pretty cool that you've kind of mentioned before that I don't see it now is that you had your personal venue, which is the Sequence Sanctuary. So how are you able to create that?
So as far as my venue, the Sequence Sanctuary, it is a art installation that is constantly changing. It develops in different forms, usually depending on my personal mood. And so this year it started off with when COVID shut down all my shows. And so I knew I was going to be performing for our fans virtually. And I kind of wanted to just focus on bringing them a more presentable experience, especially if I was going to be by myself and not with my nine other bandmates. And so I made a venue in my house out of all these pieces of sequin that I had kept from previous shows or events that I put together. And for the first few months, like March, April, May, I was performing every single week for free on our Facebook Live and Instagram Live for tips for the band. That really slowed down after George Floyd was murdered, and I just really wasn't able to focus and perform the way that I wanted to because I was just so sad. And then towards the end of June, I think it was like June 27th, actually it was June 27th, I just really had an epiphany where I was like, okay, you know, being able to make the music that we make, being able to create, being able to sing, especially during times like this, is such a gift and such a blessing.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that I'm not punishing myself or anybody else just because of an event caused by the hatred of a few people. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really trying to focus more on like how I can heal myself and help others through performing. And so The Suffers are in the middle of wrapping up our third studio album, which we had to finish in quarantine, and a few of the songs we recorded part by part by part, which was something completely opposite of what we've done in the past. We're used to doing it all at one time as a big band and whatever. I additionally had received a grant from the city of Houston for a creative grant to record my own record and to produce a social justice EP for a large choir. And that was another record that I had to do remotely this year. Mm-hmm. And so that's coming to a close right now, and that's called the Bayou City Comeback Chorus. So this year has been very dedicated to finishing records, learning instruments. I picked a guitar back up at the beginning of the year after putting it down for like 15 years. And really started learning as a beginner. And it's been really lovely to have that outlet and to be able to write with this new instrument. I've also learned how to record myself, how to run my own sound.
Oh, nice.
I'm learning a few languages. We're out here, you know, just really trying to make the most of this time.
So do you do a lot of the DIY stuff in your own home? I mean, your personal venue, I didn't know if that was like a soundproof.
That was all within my own house. I built it all myself, literally with push pins and sequin, putting it all up myself with ladders and stuff. And,
oh yeah.
It has been a process for sure, but it has made me appreciate so much more the people that work on the tech side and what they do.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It's also, I think, allowed me to understand more so that I can communicate what I want in the future. Last week, I played a show for KPRC, a local TV channel here in Houston, NBC affiliate. And I had gotten asked to perform an Andre Day cover of Rise Up. But I was like, oh, like maybe I'll do it with karaoke since we couldn't have the whole band. And I was like, well, let me try it on guitar first and see what it sounds like. And it wasn't perfect. But I was like, I'm a good singer. I can make this work.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I did it and it was super nerve wracking. And, which is funny cause I usually don't get nervous before shows at all.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of funny to have like this new, challenge kind of going on, but you know, it showed me, okay, here's yet another thing that I probably would have never seen myself doing that 2020 has presented to me as a, all right, either you're going to do it or you can dream about it, you know? Yeah. So I really pushed myself in ways that I couldn't have ever imagined this year.
It's funny that you mentioned that you said that you've been playing the guitar because I've seen a few videos of your performance and I definitely can tell you're quite the dancer. You love to dance. So are you planning to dance while you're, you know, rocking out the guitar? Because I've seen people do that before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I figure if I'm going to have it, I might as well have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
Additionally, like, it's going to take me a while to get to the level of guitar playing that I would like to get to. So the dancing might make it seem a little bit more entertaining. But yeah, no, I think, you know, we should be out here having fun with our instruments. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, besides getting into new things in music, I've heard that you actually are starting to get into a little acting too. So what kind of acting roles do you see yourself playing?
Honestly, I've been getting into a little bit of everything from voiceover to sci-fi. I got a script in yesterday for actually it was a superhero kind of thing. But I have to double check it. I should be learning that script right now, actually. But I've been trying out for everything, major film, TV, indie productions. I got a acting agent at the beginning of the pandemic and turned out like she represents quite a few major performers. And so acting was something that I did as a child and in high school. But again, it was one of those dreams that it was, you know, I never really thought it would ever happen. And so being able to audition for major stuff that I see coming out, like whether I get the role or not, the fact that I'm even being considered for stuff on Netflix and HBO and ABC, I'm like, what, you know? And so it's been a really cool year. And, you know, I'm like, I hope, you know, that I book something in that profession soon. Cause it'll just be another part of my career and my dream little skate that I get to execute properly and enjoy it. Cause so many people really hardly ever get to do one dream, and the fact that I possibly get to do multiple, I'm just like, okay, cool.
So what kind of actors or actresses really inspire you?
The ones that I feel allow me to feel something without them really even probably even realizing moments, like just the way they look at a person. Mm-hmm. You feel it in their chest. So like I really love Viola Davis. I've always loved Tom Hanks. Like I just feel like he has that range. Denzel Washington, Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett's probably like up there is one of my favorites. Same with, I really love Julia Roberts. And just, yeah, like if I feel like I can relate to them easy, but also I can see that they're acting their asses off. Like, oh, yeah. Those are my favorite.
Cool.
Helen Mirren.
One thing I found out that was pretty interesting is the band's song Take Me to the Good Times, which is a recent song that came out, became actually the theme music for Brené Brown's podcast. So how did that happen?
That happened through Brené, actually. she started following us online and told us that she had discovered our music through my friend Carrie Rodriguez and Gina Chavez, who actually do her music for her other podcast. And it was something that I was like, oh, you know, like I'd heard her name before, but I was like,
yeah,
what is she following us for? And I was like, she knows Oprah, like, whoa. And, you know, it was a win that we needed at a really like special and crazy time in our lives. The audience that Brené has is so vast and different and really trying to improve themselves. And I feel like that is exactly what the Suffers are. You know, we're made up of so many different cultures and backgrounds. You have Black, white, Hispanic, Black woman, trans woman, you know, like we're really learning how to grow as a group. Not only through the things that I've been through or what Juliet's been through, but the journeys that we've been through as a unit, and like how we can take anything that we've been through that might be seen as negative or that we experienced as negative and turn it into a lesson or a memory of loss that we can look back on when we're winning. You know, it's like we've always done a really good job of pushing through to the positive. And yeah, I'm excited to continue doing that. And I hope that all of the people that discover us through Brené's podcast are able to hear that.
It's funny, you mentioned about the diversity of the band, which it's awesome that it's different people of different backgrounds. So I'm curious of how the chemistry is there, because last time I checked, it was a 10-piece band, but I think it's more than that now. I've kind of lost count of how many people.
So we started off as 10, and we were 10 for about 6 years. And then we were 8 for about 3, and now we are 7. But we occasionally bring in a touring keyboard player for bigger stuff. But it is myself on lead vocals, Juliet Terrell on bass, Michael Razzo on trombone, John Durbin on trumpet, Kevin Bernier on guitar, Jose Luna on percussion, and Nick Zamora on drums.
It's unfortunate that you're unable to go on tour due to COVID, but one thing that I'm sure you probably were excited about going to is the Newport Folk Festival in Rhode Island, which I'm a big fan of. Newport in Rhode Island. Yeah. I love that state. Why is that one of your favorite places to perform at?
Well, it's a great place because it's just a great place. It's really beautiful.
Oh yeah.
It sits on the coast, you know, of the ocean, and the weather's usually perfect. That New England summertime.
Oh yeah.
Perfection, you know, just really, really gorgeous. The reason I've always loved playing Newport is because I just feel like I belong there. A lot of places I've gone over the years have just really gone out of their way to like make me not feel welcome. And through classism, through racism, sexism. But I feel like even though Newport has changed a lot over the decades, the music has still managed to come first, and the music lover, Newport, has been a rock within the folk, Americana, blues, jazz, all of that communities for such a long time, that when you get there, I feel like it could be so easy to be so intimidated and whatnot. But again, like what they've created over the years, shout out to Jay Sweet and everybody at the Fort, is just something really special and wonderful and unique. And, you know, I hope to see it continue to grow. I hope to see it continue to thrive after all of this is said and done. And honestly, I'm just so grateful to them for existing. Like outside of the festival, they do so many wonderful initiatives to help music communities around the country. And they've been doing that for so long and in almost quiet ways. And a lot of companies can't say the same.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever see yourself living in Newport or that area? Because I love that Rhode Island, Providence area. Like, amazing.
Maybe a summer home. Maybe a summer home. I'm not really into cold weather like that.
Oh, man. I'm a big foodie, so every time I'm there in the New England area.
I said I want the lobster rolls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm big on lobster rolls.
The Del's lemonade, the frozen lemonade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Amazing. Sorry, I grit my teeth every time I talk about good food because just thinking about it just makes me want to bite my lips and stuff.
Oh, no, I understand.
Oh, man, you got me started with food, or I got myself started.
That's so funny.
Well, and something interesting I've heard before in a previous interview is that you actually had the opportunity to meet Dave Chappelle, and he actually gave you some good advice or some advice to really help you. So do you mind sharing what that was?
Yeah. I saw Chappelle play last year at House of Blues in Houston, and my friend Mo Amer, another comedian from here in Houston, was opening for him. But after everything was said and done, Dave was in town for a few nights doing shows. We all went backstage and I got introduced to him by my friend Saman, and my band came up and I was like, oh, well, I'll bring you some music tomorrow. So I stopped by, brought him some vinyl. But he had told me that him and Mo had been driving around Houston all day and they were listening to our music. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I absolutely loved it. The only advice I would give is to be more honest. And it's funny because at that point in my career, I was really struggling to just be myself. And it was because I had so many people policing me. The way that I was speaking, the way I was dressing, the way that I was existing. The way I was defending myself. And I really just needed, and Chappelle's name association, I guess, makes it cool. But honestly, I think that it's just so important for any artist when they're struggling or when they're coming up to get that advice from older artists. You know, and I don't look at Dave as a musician. I look at him as a comedian, but at the same time, he is an artist. And that elder advice, that OG advice from someone that has been in your position or that has really consumed a lot of art within the world in which you work, those opinions can make such a big difference when they come at the right time. We had something similar happen at the beginning of our career with Lionel Richie. We opened for him at Austin City Limits in Austin. And he, after everything was said and done, he was getting ready to leave and probably didn't have the time to speak to us because they were trying to rush him out of there. But he came over and he spoke to us and was like, y'all stay together. Stay together. Do not break up. They will try to break you up. They will try to make, talking to me, they will try to make you go solo. And they did many times. And he was like, you'll be, if y'all can stay together and make this work, it'll all work out for you. And at that point I was even younger, you know, like this is like almost 7 years ago. And I was just like, wow, like, okay, we're on the right path. And I mean, like, honestly, like those steps are so important. That guidance is so important. And I hope that, you know, artists, as they get older, understand how important it is to reach out to these younger artists when you see them trying, to let them know, like, keep trying.
That's awesome that you got, you know, great advice from legends such as Lionel Richie and Dave Chappelle throughout your musical career. And before being a full-time musician, I heard that you were actually a trade analyst for an investment bank. So how'd you come from doing that to being a front woman of the Suffers?
Well, I'd always done music, but shortly after high school, I had started doing executive assisting and admin assisting and just working as a receptionist at different oil and gas companies doing temp work. I got a full-time job as an executive assistant after a few years working at this investment bank, and it was a really great company. However, you know, I often wondered if I would be stuck in that role because I didn't finish my degree. And I didn't finish my degree because I had left to go on a tour with another band called The Very Best from London and Malawi. And then I broke my ankle on that tour, which is what led to a little spiral, a little depression. And I left the industry for a little while, got this job. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get serious about it. I'm gonna get married. I'm gonna do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Suffers happened. And, you know, I had already been at the job for maybe 2 years when the Suffers started. And it was supposed to be this thing on the side, like a weekend kind of vibe and a once a month kind of performance thing. And I was excelling at my company, getting promoted. I learned how to do gas and power trade analyzation and contract trade analyzation, and was learning how to do other commodities within the company so that I could eventually just go and get an economics degree and decide if I wanted to go to trading myself or do something else within the company as I grew within it. And then in 2015, which was like 5 years later, I had to leave because we got offered Letterman. And so I've been doing music I've been touring and doing music full time since January 30th of 2015. And so, we all used to have real jobs. Kevin, my guitar player, worked at NASA as a contractor for the International Space Station. We had a bunch of teachers within the band. You know, it's like, we weren't planning on this to be the full thing, but it took on a life of its own, and I'm grateful it did.
I can tell that you definitely have an interest in a range of things besides soul music, which is the Suffers are known to play a lot of, and you have a lot of interest in ska music and reggae music. So who are some of your musical influences? Because I think I heard Miley Cyrus was one of them too.
Well, I really like Miley Cyrus. I don't know. Sure, we'll say she plays an influence. I really like I think she has really great pop songs, and I think that a lot of lessons can be learned from what she does. As far as like influences that I've been listening to my whole life, I would say Erykah Badu, Yolanda Adams, Jill Scott, Dolly Parton, Selena, Celia Cruz, basically Tina Turner, Beyonce, you know, like power singers that don't sound necessarily like everybody else. I really, really love that. Like Luther Vandross was just like, oh my, you know, always trying to copy Luther as a kid. But like, for me now, I'm always listening to a lot of what's new, what's happening, like what's blowing my mind right now. Mm-hmm. I love Yeba and Anderson .Paak and Hiatus Coyote. There's a artist out of Houston named Dende who I think is just doing like really, really incredible stuff. Jackie Vinson out of Austin, Joshua Sante out of Little Rock. Like the list goes on and on and on and on. And I don't know. I just have a lot of talented friends that I feel are constantly just inspiring me to do more. Krungbin, you know, like I'm just like, wow, like everyone's just always blowing my mind and inspiring me to challenge myself, you know, as The Suffers wraps up our next record. While we're known for, you know, we've always been this Gulf Coast soul band, or to, you know, because people have gotten to know us. And I don't know what the genre of the next album will be labeled as. As you know, while yes, there's one or two soul songs on it, I think it might actually get the pop label. Maybe wow. Miley's had a heavier influence on me than I realized. But I had a chance to cover a country song for a project that Houston Public Media did last year. And so I covered The Climb by her. And it was just a really fun experience. And got to deep dive into her style and at least that particular era of her style, and just had fun with it. I love country.
You mentioned The Climb, and for a while I was living in the Fiji Islands for a little bit, and they used to, every time in the club, they used to play that song, but like an island remix, so it was like a higher tone. So I didn't even know if it was Miley Cyrus that was singing this song, so because how they just made it more of an island thing. And I was grooving on that song for the longest time before I finally knew it was from Miley Cyrus.
That's hilarious. I love when that happens. I love that.
Oh, man. You mentioned Jackie Vincent, and I've had her on the show a while back, and she mentioned that you two have been talking for a while, I guess, of doing some music together. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, I love Jackie so much. We just actually... one of the songs on the next Suffers album, I workshopped with her.
Oh, nice. Continuing on about the Suffers, I know the band originally started from being a cover band. So what at point did it evolve from being a cover band to starting their own music?
Within the first year. I think that first year that we were writing songs, we're filling the sets out with cover songs with intent initially to, again, do covers. But the originals just kept flowing out. And so by year two, it went from, okay, we're going to do a set with 6 covers and 5 originals to, all right, 9 originals, 2 covers, and then 1 cover, 15 originals, you know, and
yeah.
That's just kind of how it happened. And, you know, I'm glad that it happened that way.
Before you all perform, you all scream out loud to help release stress. So how does that help you all?
Well, screaming is screaming, yelling, just allowing yourself to deep breathe in a loud way is a natural stress release that a lot of people don't tap into. You know, and for us, you're touring with that many people. You have a shit ton going on. You have to make sure that you're forcing those releases out even when you might not be thinking about that for yourself. And so, like, let's say, you know, we're going through something or we're having a tough moment before a show. Doing that allows us to almost like completely forget about whatever nonsense we were going through before we play. And then it's almost like a palate cleanser for the mind.
Yeah. No, I've heard screaming helps pretty well. I mean, it's hard to find a private area where you can scream and someone doesn't come in and think you're in trouble or anything. So
yeah.
I had a pretty stressful job, and one coworker said she would go in her car and just scream as loud as she can and then come back in as if everything's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a whole other conversation, but humans, especially Americans, are so suppressed in so many ways that I feel like, you know, we're hurting ourselves without even intentionally meaning to do so by not giving ourselves natural releases.
You mentioned about this upcoming album that you all are working on. So is there anything you can share about this album?
I can't go into full details just yet. I can say that it's almost done, that it's going to have about 13 or 14 songs on it. And that it'll be out next year, hopefully, if everything goes the way it's supposed to go with time. But it's recorded, we're just editing right now, and we're just excited to get it done.
And I heard that you actually write a lot of the lyrics to your music. So did you do the same for this record as well?
I did. I got a lot of help from friends and stuff, and collaborated with a lot of people for this record on the lyric side, mainly because in the past, you know, not that we didn't want to work with more people. It was just timing and sometimes money and scheduling, whatever. But I put a lot of thought into the people that I asked. And some of the folks like were recommended by the team. And it's just so collaborative in a way to where it's like, oh, we're still getting our vision out, but we're getting that additional help where we need it. You know, because like, you're going to get stalled out sometimes when you're working, or an idea I feel like can really be enhanced sometimes when you allow somebody else to come in there and help you. So I'm really proud of the work that we've done, and I'm excited for people to listen and check it all out.
Awesome. And you mentioned earlier that you've done your own music. And one thing that I saw of yours is your new Metals EP, which has a couple of songs on that. And one song I'm really interested in is that you had a cover song of Korn's Freak on a Leash. So why'd you include that song in your EP?
Yeah, so I mean, that era of music I always found so interesting and so, and almost kind of like not funny, but like I love that it either makes people really happy or it makes people like irritated that it ever existed. Like nu metal, ugh. You know, like it's like I feel like it's just part of the genre shift of music and evolution of it. But I always loved Korn, Deftones. The Godsmack song, I was not a Godsmack fan, but I know that song was, I was like, it's a pop song. I was like, it's a metal song, but it's a pop song.
Yeah.
I actually initially wanted to do, I wanted to replace Voodoo with Chop Suey by System of a Down or Toxicity. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't end up working out. And so I worked on that record with this producer named Heaven out of Los Angeles. And, you know, we kind of just, you know, it started off as a joke, like, let's just do this like soulful nu metal's cover record. And it started off with the Deftones cover, because I'm a huge Deftones fan. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of evolved, you know. And so I was so happy to get it done and to try it out. And the reason that I really did it all was because I wanted a palate cleanser. I felt like if I did something like that, then no one could talk to me about like what genre I would be allowed to do. Like, okay, yeah, you've gotten to discover me through my soul music. Here's this random, you know, nu metal cover record that I'm doing, so that if I decide to drop my country album or anything else, it won't be of a shock.
I would love to hear you do a cover song of that Chop Suey song. That's a crazy song. I like to.
Yeah, I just thought it would be fun to approach, and it's really, you know, it's I just really always liked System of a Down. I just always found them so honest and unique and different, and so maybe one day I'll approach it in my own way.
That is an interesting era. A lot of like awesome crazy rock songs came out around that time. There's one like a German band that came out with a really popular song.
Yeah.
During that time, they had that crazy song. TRL was just like playing all those awesome rock songs.
I heard it's wrong. I heard most of the lyrics in DuPost are wrong, like the translation that they were trying to give us.
The video is like watching a horror movie. I mean, even that Chop Suey video, like, I mean, I think they had like someone dressed up as a devil or something like that. But yeah, those.
Yeah. I mean, I understood. I don't understand on the Ramside side because I didn't understand German and I didn't understand what they were going for. I know, you know, System of a Down was writing a lot of songs about genocide, so I figured everything they put out was going to be heavy. So
You mentioned that you're really interested in like acting roles and stuff like that, and I guess you're really big on movies because I've heard before that the movie The Five Heartbeats helped you give a formula to when it came to music. So do you mind sharing what kind of formula it helped you with?
Well, for anyone that hasn't seen The Five Heartbeats, it's like a cult classic, especially in a lot of Black American households. But I would say it helped me in terms of learning that bands fight, learning that bands are family, learning that the industry is not always here for you and that it's going to be dirty, learning that there are going to be things like addiction and alcohol and all of that stuff that come into play, and learning that strong songwriting and hard work wins and presentation wins. And probably wasn't the best movie for me to be watching at 5 or 6 years old. I learned a lot from it. I had laughed because I had asked Leon Bridges if he had ever met Leon from who's one of the actors and characters in Five Heartbeats. And he was like, I was actually named after that guy. I was what? Amazing. Look, that's so funny. And then eventually I saw a photo of them where they actually did meet, and it was just hilarious.
Oh, man.
So funny.
Well, we're at a recurring segment in this podcast called Self-Reflections. So this question is, what's the best thing you learned about yourself during this past year?
The best thing that I learned about myself during this past year is that I am often too hard on myself, like many other creatives are. But when I get out of my own way and I allow myself to just be free and have fun, I can get so much more accomplished.
Oh yeah. I love to see more videos of you in your sequence sanctuary, because that's a dope venue. I got to see that venue again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, there will be more coming up. The Suppers are actually preparing for a holiday show in quarantine that we're putting together. I made it into like a little holiday space, and that's what I'm working for. So it should be fun. Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait. Well, since we're wrapping up, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
I would encourage people, like, if they want to see that, if they want to keep up with us, to go to, first of all, to go to thesuppers.com. But if they want to, get weird with my band and I, they can join our community at patreon.com/thesuppers. Additionally, if they want to just follow me and see what I'm doing, I am most active on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I am at Cam Franklin with a K. And on Instagram, I am at BamMitsCam.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, appreciate this conversation that we had. But Cam Franklin, thank you so much for joining us in iRechat, and best of luck on everything.
Thank you so much, and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks.
But what you need to know is that you loved her from the start.
Our Ivy Chat with Cam Franklin of The Suppers. Make sure to follow all their socials. You may find more information in the show notes. Please rate our podcast and let us know what you think of it. I hope you stay safe with everything going on right now. To keep yourself occupied, go ahead and catch our chats on YouTube as well. To end this episode, I thought I'd play one of my favorite songs from The Suppers called Mamas. Thanks for listening to our Ivy Chat, and I'll see you soon.